Even the most clever murderer is so busy counting his chickens, he is likely to leave the stable door unlocked, n'est-ce-pas?
From the thrill-packed pages of Agatha Christie's unforgettable stories of corpses, clues, and crime, we bring you, complete with bowler hat and brave mustache, your favorite detective, Hercule Poirot. As our armies push ahead in Europe and the Pacific, the fighting grows more furious, and the number of men that need medical treatment thus grows in proportion. Particularly needed at this time are registered nurses. They'll be accepted by the Army immediately and will enter with the rank of second lieutenant. Nurses, join today. And now, America's favorite mystery writer, Agatha Christie, brings you her world-famous little Belgian detective, Hercule Poirot, in The Case of the Roving Corpse.
Monsieur Parker! Parker! Stop, please!
Oh, it's you, Poirot. Thank heavens you're here. I'm terrified. You'd better do something quickly.
Well, you overrate my exceptional gifts, mon ami. I can do nothing. Yet.
But
why did you disappear, you and Abigail, from the restaurant where we went so I could telephone with Inspector Stevens?
Because suddenly remembered something.
Vraiment? Ah, good. Your memory is beginning to come back, perhaps, Parker? The amnesia wears off.
No, no. No, Poirot. I can't remember back past this morning. Everything's still blank.
Ah, well, let us try again to help it. You do remember that this morning my secretary Abigail found you wandering in the park. You were dressed in clothes that obviously do not belong to you. You could remember nothing at all of your past, not even your name. So for the sake of convenience, we gave you the name of Parker.
Yes, that's right. And then we tried to retrace my footsteps from where I first came to myself.
Ah, bon. We arrived finally at the waterfront at a dock just around the corner from here. And you thought the place looked familiar. Can you remember why?
No. There was just something about it that... And then we found that young woman's body.
Ah, and by a strange coincidence, she also had no identifying marks of any kind. Obviously, they had been removed by the one who shot her.
Do you think it might have been that young clerk from the express office nearby?
Monsieur Fredacher?
Yes.
It is possible. If you remember, he said he had never seen the young woman. Yet, I found his footprints in the ashes near her body. Eh bien, what was it you remembered then? Had you perhaps met this young Asher before?
Oh, no, sir. All I remembered was the word toy.
Oui.
And it was tied up in some way with a large, shadowy building at the end of this street. Oh, this is all hopeless. I'll never find myself.
Oh, you will please leave that to me. At the moment, I concern myself rather with finding my secretary, Abigail. Where is she?
I don't know.
You do not know, but you are together.
Yes, but she left me to take a look down this street.
Come on.
You see, I got a feeling I'd been here before, and she wanted to check up. She just couldn't wait for you.
And you permitted her to go alone?
Yes. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have. Well, then I got worried and I went after her. But when I turned the corner, she was gone.
Monsieur, you are quite sure you did not see her? You have not lost your memory again?
No, no, I'm positive.
Then perhaps you will explain the presence of that object in your hand.
The object? Oh, the bag. Abby's bag.
Oui, monsieur.
Well, I was just going to show it to you. I picked it up on the sidewalk there.
Sapristi, you pick up the pocketbook and you simply stand there and do nothing. Monsieur, this is too much. Come, come, you will show me precisely where you found it.
All right. It was right here, in front of this dark building.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid, Monsieur Poirot. I tell you, I'm afraid. There's something sinister here. Something that robbed me of my memory.
Oh, mais regardez, Parker. It is merely a warehouse. And I cannot leave you here, and I cannot leave her there. We must enter.
But, Poirot...
Have no fear, mon ami. You are with Hercule Poirot.
That sign. Toys. Jolly Toys, second floor. I told
oui,
you
I... that sign interests me very much.
Hmm?
You will observe that the other signs are covered with thick dust. But this one has only recently been wiped clean.
Abby,
Precisely. Please to squeeze the bell for the elevator, and let us hope we are not too late. Yeah, there is no attendant.
No, this is automatic. You just press the button for two.
Uh-huh.
I can't understand what toys have to do with me and with that dead woman. Who do you suppose she is?
Oh, these questions will be answered some other time. Just now... voila, at the end of the hall. Jolly toys.
This place doesn't look jolly to me. Gives me the creeps. What? Did you hear that?
Oh, it is Abby. Come, we must hurry.
Hippo, this door here. Oh, it's locked.
Abby, Abigail.
Be calm,
Abigail, and stand back. Monsieur Parker will storm the door. Une fois encore.
Oh, jump in, Codfish. Am I glad to see you?
Are you all right? We thought you
were... Oh, I'm all right now, I guess. I was awful scared, though.
Oh, naturally. Tell me, mademoiselle, how did you arrive in this predicament?
Well, I saw the sign downstairs.
Which you wash off with your sleeve.
Uh-huh, so I came up here and began looking around.
The door offered no obstacle.
No, it was open. I saw the place was empty, so I walked right in. Then, suddenly, the door banged shut behind me. I never realized there was such a draft in that hall.
That is because there is no draft.
What? Well, then, what made the door slam?
Who knows? Perhaps you yourself closed it unconsciously.
No. In fact, I rushed right over to open it, but the spring lock had caught.
It is strange that you could not open it from within. An unusual lock.
No, it's not so unusual.
No?
No, I know a little about these things. I used to fool around with them. No, it's just jammed. You see?
Yes, I see. Very interesting. Eh bien, now that we are happily reunited, let us return to the dock and the unhappy friend.
Oh, wait, Chief, just one moment.
What now, Abby?
Parker, step over here, please. I want to try a little experiment. I'm going to open up this box suddenly. I want you to look in and say the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Well, yes, I'm ready. Go ahead. Susie.
Susie? Who's she? Who's Susie?
Well, I don't know. It just came to me when I looked at these dolls.
Oh, are you sure? Doesn't it mean anything to you?
Perhaps as a child you had a doll named Susie.
No, I don't quite see myself playing with a doll, do you?
Oh, that, monsieur, would depend on the doll. Now, these dolls I find of extraordinary interest.
I think they're ugly.
True. They are not very attractive, but their construction. Ingenious, huh? The heads unscrew off.
Well, I didn't notice.
Of course not. That is your weakness. You do not observe the essentials. For example, you have no doubt overlooked another strange thing.
What's that, Poirot?
Well, is it not peculiar that in this, the establishment of the Jolly Toy Company, there should be so few toys, jolly or otherwise?
Say, by George, that is queer.
You may be in those big cases.
I do not think so. I have moved one or two. They are exceedingly light.
Yeah, I'll take a look. This one's empty.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, this one, too. I wonder if...
How do you do?
Gosh, you give me a turn.
Really? I'm so sorry.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Quite. You all seem so very busy. I hope my arrival hasn't inconvenienced you. Perhaps I can even help.
Oh, that is possible, in a sense.
In a sense?
Oui. You see, we are endeavoring to clear up some baffling events.
For example,
there is the matter of an unknown lady, but recently murdered down by the river. Intriguing, no?
No.
Then there is the matter of this young man who leans so gravely against the wall, staring at you. He has lost his memory. A case of temporary amnesia.
Indeed. My sympathies, young man.
For the moment, we have named him Parker. A little jest of my secretary since she made his acquaintance in the Central Park.
A pleasant bit of whimsy.
But monsieur is not amused.
Why do you say that?
It is obvious, is it not? The lips smile, but the eyes, they are not friendly.
Forgive me. I'm not familiar with the etiquette of the situation. You see, it's not customary for me to come into my place of business and discover three very cool trespassers, one of whom is extremely talkative.
I see you are becoming irritated. Obviously, that is due to bad cooking. I can assure you, Monsieur Jolly, that with the proper seasoning...
The name is Brownlee. Sidney Brownlee.
Enchanté.
And you're right. I am a little tired of the performance you're giving. with that ridiculous accent and the comic opera mustache?
The accent, I assure you, is of the greatest authenticity, as are the mustaches. I present myself, Hercule Poirot.
Charmed, I'm sure. Now, if you'll all... What was that name?
Hercule Poirot. You have perhaps encountered it?
I've heard of you, of course. They say you're the greatest French detective the world's ever known.
Oh, always people tell me that, but it is not quite true. I am Belgian, not French.
Well, this puts a different complexion on the matter. Assuming, of course, you're here on legitimate business and not on some private skullduggery.
Oh, have no fear, monsieur. We are here only in the interest of our unfortunate Parker.
You see, Mr. Brownlee, Parker has the most persistent feeling that his past is somehow tied up with this place.
Hmm? He's mistaken.
Monsieur is quite certain?
Quite. Turn your face toward me, Parker. That's it. Now, turn round slowly.
You don't know me, do you?
Sorry, old man. No, Poirot. I have never seen him before in my life.
Hmm. Well, that leaves us just where we were. I'd almost rather know I committed the murder myself than have this uncertainty.
Well, I still say it's mighty funny. Parker came to this place like a homing pigeon, and he knew there were toys here. He didn't see that in any crystal ball.
I'm sorry, I can't help you.
We are all sorry. I regret, too, that we found it necessary to dismember this door. Had we but known that you were in the building...
No. No, Poirot. It won't do. I was not in the building. I just came in.
Ah, that is a pity. Alors, we will not disturb you further. Abby, Parky, let us march. We leave Monsieur Brownlee here to amuse himself with his toys while we return to the corpse.
Must we, Chief?
Well, of course, if Parker is the murderer after all, Inspector Stevens would like to meet him.
Do you really think that
wait,
I might...
Wait. Monsieur Chauffeur appears to be having the difficulty starting the engine.
Hardly. I came here on foot.
So? And who may that be?
Chief, that window faces front.
Allons voir.
It's a big black car.
Ah, c'est dommage. I should have liked to converse with that person. Not some other time, perhaps. But at the moment, allons.
I'll take you out to the elevator.
Monsieur is too kind.
Not at all. I shouldn't like to see anything else happen to you. Here we are.
Abby, shouldn't the elevator be up here?
What?
I mean, no one has gone down that we know of.
Very good, Parker. Very good indeed. I, too, was wondering.
Step right in, folks, and... Oh, there's a lady sitting there.
Good Lord. She's dead.
She is still dead. Do you not recognize her?
Oh, jumping codfish. It's the corpse we found at the wharf.
Accidents to farmers lost twice the number of man-hours needed to produce the average annual wheat crop of the United States. And therefore, accidents on the home front must be sharply reduced. And yet in the first half of 1944, traffic accidents had gone up 10% over the last year. Remember your ABCs. Always be careful.
Chief, I don't get it. What's it all about? Who killed this woman? Who is she? What's she got to do with Parker?
Calm yourself, my dear Abigail.
Oh, calm myself. With a corpse staring at me from an elevator floor? Mr. Poirot, how did she get here?
My dear Abby. Oh. Now you are employing the little gray cells. When we know that, we know everything. Meanwhile, I have collected a few more little ideas.
Be sure to listen tomorrow when Agatha Christie, America's favorite mystery writer, brings you her world-famous little detective, Hercule Poirot, in the fourth chapter of The Case of the Roving Corpse.